I'm going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Romans chapter number 10. With God's Word open before us, and let us bow together in prayer. Our Father and our God, we think especially of the families who mourn today. We think of the Donald family and the McBurney family. And we pray that God will comfort these families at this time. We pray that they will know the comfort, Lord, of thy grace, and the nearness of the Lord, even in their time of loss and in their time of bereavement. Even for those in these family circles that don't know the Lord as Savior, Father, we pray that thou wilt speak to them even through the passing of these loved ones, we pray. And that, Lord, even through this, that thou wilt speak even unto the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. Lord, as we turn now to thy word, speak afresh through thy word to our hearts, O God. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things under thy law today. Use thy word, O God, to the saving of souls, to the blessing and edification of the saints of God, to the glorifying of thy holy name. To this end, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood of Christ. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. And bless thy word to every heart. We pray as thou alone would see the need. We ask for Jesus' sake all these things. Amen. Now our text, Scripture we want to look at today, it's the latter half of verse number 10 of Romans chapter 10, where it says, "And with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation." Now, speaking of the Christian life, Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan preacher of a bygone day, said it should be nothing but a visible representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking further about the life of the believer, Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, said, "Wherever we go, let us not fail to take our religion with us." And again, speaking further about the life of the child of God, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "The sermons most needed today are sermons in shoes." And by those words of those great men of God of a bygone day, they were highlighting the need for God's people to witness for Christ, and indeed to confess Christ before others. And this great truth of the believer confessing Christ is a truth that is constantly set before us in the Word of God. Back in the book of the Psalms, the psalmist says to God's people, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds." Among the people, God's people are to make known the deeds of the Lord to the people around them. Again, you think of the woman of Samaria who met Christ at the well, who was converted to the Lord. Upon her conversion, she went back to where she lived. And she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She was just saved, yet she went away to witness for her Savior. And think of Paul's words as he pens his letter to the Philippians. He says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in our Bible reading today, God's people again are encouraged to confess Christ before others. In this chapter here before us, Paul is outlining the mark of the Christian. And one of the marks of the Christian is faith in the resurrected Christ for salvation. You see that in that great verse 9 of the chapter, where he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the person who is saved is one who realizes before God their need as a lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinner. And with that realization, they call in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. Their trust is in the finished work of Christ. Their trust is in the atoning blood of Christ to wash away their sin before God and to save their soul for time and for eternity. That was the testimony of John the Apostle, for he could speak of Christ. And he could say, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse of us from all sin." Dear friend, this morning in our meeting, let me ask, have you this saving faith? Have you repented of your sins? Are you trusting this morning in the blood of Christ alone to save your soul? And I must warn you, if you are not, then you are still lost in your sin as you sit in this meeting. You are still bound for a lost eternity in hell. And friend, if you are to be wise, and before it is forever too late, you need to confess your sins to God. You need to repent of your sins and be converted and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you. The Bible says, but seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Yes, the mark of the Christian is saving faith. But then Paul goes on in this chapter before us, and he tells of another mark of the Christian. What is that mark that pertains to the Christian life? That mark is one of confession of Christ. Confessing Christ. And he speaks of that in the words of our text this morning at the end of verse 10 of Romans 10, where he says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me say today, it is the work of every child of God to confess the Lord Jesus Christ before this world. Yes, God wants all of his people to shine as lights in a dark world. Why? So that others may see their need as a sinner before God, and so that others might be pointed to Christ for salvation. And to fulfill this great purpose, all who are saved are to confess Christ before others. And people, it is for that particular reason I want us to consider today the subject of confessing Christ, that subject that is set before us in the words of our text, where it says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. First of all, here I want you to see the necessity of the believer's confession of Christ before others, the necessity of that confession. And by the necessity of every believer confessing Christ is highlighted by the fact that this is something that the Lord commands his people to do in the Word, in the Scriptures. Turn with me back, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10, and the verse 32 and the verse 33, and you see here how Christ emphasizes this very command to all of his people in the words before us in these two verses. Matthew 10, verse 32 and verse 33, the Lord is speaking, and he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And child of God, note here by these words, what is Christ showing? What is he telling us? What is he teaching us? He's showing us here that he wants us who are saved to witness for him, to confess him before others. And I say it is essential that we confess him before others if we are to obey this command of the Lord to his people and to his church. Let me say this, dear people of God, whenever we heed this command, our faith will grow as God's people. Our joy in the Lord will be increased. Can I say something else that highlights the necessity of heeding this command by our confession of Christ? It will keep us as God's people from backsliding. You see, backsliding always begins with a failure of the child of God to confess his Savior before others. You think of Peter the Apostle, he denied that he owned the Lord before a little maid at the fire. And what did he go on to do? He went on to deny his Lord outwardly, even to curse his Savior, and say, I know not the man, I know not my Savior. Dear child of God, confession of Christ will keep you from backsliding by owning the Lord. That's one of the reasons why we ought to heed this command. Also, child of God, let me say this. We need to confess Christ before others because of what he has done for us and all that he has done for us in salvation. If someone was to do a great thing for you, maybe even rescue your life from death itself, you would soon let it be known. You'd soon tell others about what that person has done for you. I was visiting the other day in that house beside us where there was the fire last week, and the people in that home, they were full of praise for what the fire service had done. They could not praise the fire service enough. And they were full of praise, telling just what they had done for them in their time of need. Well, dear people, with Christ as our Savior and our sins forgiven, as God's people were saved from hell, we were sure of heaven, with grace to live the Christian life, with the promise of the Lord's presence with us daily as God's people. Does the Lord not say to his people, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, I will not forsake thee? Surely in light of such blessings as God's people, are we not then compelled to confess Christ and to tell of Christ before others? That's how it was with David the psalmist. Think of his testimony in Psalm 40, speaking of the Lord. He says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. He says, many shall see it and fear. He was letting it be known what the Lord had done for him as his Savior. O child of God, this morning, see here from our text the necessity of confessing Christ before others. Yes, the necessity of confessing Christ. But notice secondly this morning the manner in which the believer is to confess Christ before others. The manner of confessing Christ. Well, let me say this as God's people. In our daily conversation, we are to confess Christ to our friends, to our relatives, to our family, to our neighbors, to those that we work with in our places of employment, those that we rub shoulders with, that we meet with, and the providence of God in our lives. That's the people that God wants you and I to speak to about the Lord. And that's the people we are to confess Christ to. That's how it was with Philip. He spoke personally to his friend Nathaniel about Christ. Listen to what is said in John 1 verse 45. It says, Philip findeth Nathaniel, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. He went to his friend Nathaniel. He says, we've found Christ. We've found the Messiah. We've found the Savior. We are to tell others day by day in their daily conversation that we meet with about the Lord. Also, as believers, can I say this? We are to confess Christ publicly, even by giving a personal word of testimony at a meeting. This is another way in which we can confess Christ. The psalmist speaks to the Lord's people and says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, when an opportunity comes our way to speak a word for the Lord, we should take that opportunity. The Lord will help us and bless us in speaking a word for him. And you know, people have gone over the years, and it is a fact, many Christians have been encouraged, and many sinners have been challenged about their need of salvation just through the testimony of another believer, maybe speaking a word for the Lord at a gospel mission or another meeting that has been publicly convened. That is a fact. Sinners are challenged, saints are encouraged and led on with God. Can I say also this morning that we confess Christ openly before others by participating as God's people in the ordinance of baptism. Let me say, as Christians, if we are physically able, this is a sacrament as God's people that we are to engage in as part of the Church of Christ. You remember what Christ said to his disciples as part of his great commission. He said in Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the sacrament of baptism is the sacrament not to be neglected by the believer and by the Church of Christ. Can I say that once we are saved, Christ commands us as a people to be baptized. What's the sign of it? A public testimony before others. As God's people, of our new life in Christ. That we're now converted to Christ. That's how it was with the Ethiopian eunuch. Turning your Bible over to Acts chapter 8. And look with me at the account that you read about his conversion. And immediately following his conversion, he was baptized. A sign of his new life in Christ. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and verse 38. Here you have him in conversation with Philip the evangelist. It says in verse 36 of Acts chapter 8, and as they went on the way, they came, it says, unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He asked the question. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then verse 38 says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. It was a sign of his new life in Christ. It was a sign of faith in Christ as his Redeemer. My, by partaking of the ordinance of baptism, dear believer, you're confessing Christ. Before the world, your new life in Christ. This is something God commands his people to do. Also, as Christians, can I say this? We confess Christ our Savior, but by joining a church that is faithful to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Think of Saul of Tarsus. Once he was saved, the Bible speaks of him and says this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Soon after his conversion, Saul joined the little church, that little despised band of God's people in Jerusalem. And he was committed to that work. But even by joining a church that is faithful to the Word of God, to the testimony of Christ, you confess Christ before others. Also, as believers, let me say this, we further confess Christ by being faithful in our attendance at church meetings, especially by being faithful at the public prayer meeting and by partaking at the Lord's table, the sacrament of communion, the Lord's Supper. Turn again, please, in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse number 25. This applies to all God's people. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Paul is writing to the believer, and he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. The Bible says to the Christian, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And dear Christian, by joining the church, by attending the meetings regularly at that church where the word is preached, by partaking at the Lord's table, sitting at the Lord's table as a believer in Christ, you are confessing Christ before others. You're confessing Christ before the world. Let me say this, that a Christian who isolates themselves from God's people and God's church, no matter who that Christian is, they're going down the road of bypass meadow. They're going down in a direction that they're going away from the Word of God and the will of God. Dear people, we confess Christ by gathering together with the saints of God in the house of God, in the place of public prayer, and around the table of the Lord. It's a witness to passers-by at the road up there. But there's the people who believe in the Lord, who confess Christ as their Savior. Something else for people regarding the manner of confessing Christ. We also confess Christ as God's people by living a godly life, by seeking to obey the Lord and obey His Word and honoring His Word practically in our lives day by day as God speaks to us and reveals to us His Word as well as plan for our lives through His Word. You remember Paul said to the believers in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be followers of God as dear children. They were to follow God. Follow God's word. That's how you and I confess Christ, by following God. Following His word. Following His truth. Yes, we see the necessity of confessing Christ, the manner of confessing Christ. But one other thought I want to leave with you this morning, and it is the frequency of the believer's confession of Christ. The frequency of the believer's confession of Christ. I asked the question this morning, is one public confession of Christ enough for a believer's life? People, the answer to that question is no. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or until He calls His people home to glory, the believer is to go on witnessing for Christ. The believer is to take every opportunity that comes his way or her way to confess Christ before others. Brian LaNorth was the great evangelist, rightly used of God in days gone by, particularly here in Ulster in the 1859 revival. But in his counsel to those who are young converts in Christ, he told them, seek to witness for your Savior every day of your life. Seek an opportunity daily to speak of your Savior. And people, can I say that is good advice for every one of us today who are saved, whether we're just recently converted to Christ or whether we're saved a long time. We should speak day by day to speak of our Savior to others. That was the testimony of Paul the Apostle. Turn your Bible back to Acts chapter 26, please. Acts chapter 26. And Luke's testimony here before King Agrippa. Paul has been saved now for over 30 years, many years. He's soon to depart the scene of time. But look at his testimony as he is before King Agrippa. Look at verse 22 and verse 23 of Acts chapter 26. Look at what he says. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, stop there and think of those words. Paul was not anything of his own strength. Anything that he was then through the strength of God and the grace of God. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue. What does he continue to do? Unto this very day, look at what he tells us. Witnessing, confessing Christ, he says, that to both small and great, those down in society, those high up in society, whoever they were, what was his message to them? Look at the latter part of the verse and then the next verse. He's saying, none other than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Listen, small and great. Paul did not just believe in a one-off confession of Christ and then leaving it that. No. His entire life was one of constant, continual, steadfast witnessing for Christ, confessing of Christ. Believer, that's how God wants you and I to live, as the salt of the earth and the light of the world in the scene of time. You read the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, a godly man. The Bible tells us there was a time in Jeremiah's life he said he would no longer speak of the Lord. He would no longer confess his Lord. In verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 20, it says this, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bone, and I was weary with forbidding. I could not stay. Not what he was saying. He was compelled to speak again of his Lord, and compelled to witness again of his Savior, his Redeemer. And can I say this will be the experience indeed of every believer who is walking with God, who is seeking to go on with God and live for his honor and glory. They will be compelled to speak of Christ and confess Christ to others. Dear Christian, think of our text as says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord says to you, dear believer, this morning, he says, be thou faithful even unto death. And believe in Christ, let me say this, until the end of your earthly days, you and I, as God's people, are to go on confessing Christ. Go on witnessing for his Savior. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer here in the meeting. Maybe it's been a long time since you've spoken a word for the Lord your Savior to others. Maybe it's been a long time since you confessed your Savior, even by partaking at the Lord's table or being present at the public season of prayer and engaging in prayer. Dear believer, let me encourage you this morning. The Lord wants you to get back to the place where your life is one of continual confession of Christ before others. Our text says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We'll say more about this subject next week in the will of the Lord, but we just want to end there this morning. Child of God, you and I are to confess Christ. Pray for opportunity daily. Pray for grace to speak for the Lord. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will use you for His honor and for His glory.